Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Let's see, what do we want to do for an intro? Oh, I know. Okay, I know. I have a story for you, actually. Are you ready?
I guess. I don't know if we do. We normally do a story.
Well, not a story, but we need like an opener. We got to open the show. We just can't say, hey, y'all. We have to like give them something special.
I thought we just normally started with saying, hey, I thought we normally did that.
Never mind. I wanted to do something, but I guess you just ruined it again.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Have you taken your CBD today?
No, because I couldn't take it with me because I was afraid I'd be put in a jail.
Hello. This is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiancé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love. It's 90-day gate, let's love.
Well, y'all, if that tells you anything how this episode's going to go.
Are we here?
Yes, I've been recording. You don't know where you are.
I'm in South Carolina in my parents' basement, literally. There is a large fish behind me that my father caught.
There is a large fish, y'all.
And I am under fluorescent lights, and they are taking everything I have out of me.
I have to say, I love you.
Oh, Lord.
I'm so glad we had to turn the video off for the sound because you look horrendous.
In this awful fluorescent light. Y'all, this is where, for those of you who are cubicle warriors and you have to work in this fucking fluorescent light, you need to petition for better lighting. This is awful.
It's true. I turn them all off at my cubicle and I have like two lamps. I'm that bitch.
They make me in a bad mood. And there's nothing worse for your skin color to be seen. You look like you're dead.
It does look like you're dead right now.
Anywho, so I'm in South Carolina visiting my parents and my family. I almost said my family. Over Thanksgiving. And Matt is in Los Angeles.
I'm in Los Angeles. Y'all, I'm a cubicle warrior in it today, though. I'm on my lunch break in some attorney's office, and I hope he doesn't come back to fucking intern while I'm in here.
I'm downstairs in my parents' basement, hiding from my father, blaring Fox News, and waiting for my niece and nephew to come in screaming, and hopefully they won't bother me while we're finishing this.
Well,
if
we'll
they
see.
Do, we will have three guests on the podcast, and we can't talk about dick jokes.
We can't because they're all under the age of 10.
They're all under the age of 10. And they're all insane.
They are insane. Y'all, what is insane is that...
Nice. The deals we're offering.
The deals. No, what is insane... Yeah, these deals. I can't believe we have We finally hit 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's a big deal.
Y'all, remember when we were, y'all have been with us a while, remember when we were offering 100, and we're still going to do that musical episode. I haven't forgotten. Some of you send me passive-aggressive messages about it, but I haven't forgotten about it. Thank
y'all,
you.
It's Poodle's in charge of that, so keep coming at him about that musical episode.
<Don't say that. laughs> You know what? I do not like to be micromanaged on any level. So that's been the downfall of many relationships. We're
going to
talk
true.
About micromanaging later with Tania. Fuck y'all.
Oh, God. Oh. You know what? I sent Sinjin a personal Instagram note from 90 Day Gays and just said, I hope y'all aren't together anymore.
We're with you.
And he just said, I'm going to read it verbatim because I don't want to mess it up. I also asked him for a dick pic. He didn't respond to that one, but maybe he'll get back to me about that.
Maybe tonight when he's drinking.
I said, I hope you're single now. You're too good for her. And I said, your positive attitude is great. And he said, hey, thank you for that. I think, hey, thank you for that is code for I want to fuck you, right? I just want to clarify.
I just want to reiterate that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fuck you message. That's thank you for that means don't contact me again. And my attorney at Bartimo and Weinstein will contact you.
That could be fair and accurate.
Anyway,
y'all. So we're
1,000 reviews. That's really something, y'all. I feel very, very thankful this season.
And me too. And as you have said, either most of them are 5 stars or then there's like 10 1 stars that are like, what the fuck
and
is this
those
show?
Are my favorites. Because y'all, you really do. This is honest. You either love us or you fucking hate us. There's nothing in the middle.
It's true. Maybe when we read a review at the end, we'll read one of those.
We have our 1 stars. They're my favorites.
We have a sissy shout out, and I realized we didn't even talk about our sissy shout out, so
we're
going
to
be doing
it
off the cuff.
One of them just said, too much. And I think that's accurate. Again, I think that too much is great for a lot of people. One just said, it's too much.
It's too much. It's too much. y'all, we also.
Sorry.
We've had so many people jump onto the Patreon, and we really appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. We're glad that a lot of you, Poodle and I, it was actually kind of our moderator, Jackie's idea of like, hey, people want to see a pillow talk with you too. And Jake and I were like, what if people, we were nervous. We didn't know if y'all were going to like it or
we
not.
We didn't know at all. Cause I was like, we're just, this is what we are. We just are kind of sitting here. That's not us performing. That's just us watching the show like normal.
Exactly. And we thought it would be boring and you would hate it. And it's been quite the opposite. And we've been watching Brené Brown and trying to live in our strengths and not be fearful.
That's what I'm going to watch on the plane because I need some living in my strength after this week with my parents.
Sure. Yeah. So for those in the Patreon, we will the next episode on we'll drop on Thanksgiving. We'll be doing that, the video and the podcast. And
it's
we
a
have
big
a special.
Deal.
We have a big deal. And we have a special announcement for y'all because y'all know Poodle loves a review, and we're very excited to have 1,000 Apple Podcast reviews. So as a thank you gift, what we're going to do for all of you is for everybody for free, we're going to post last week's. So we're going to post our first Patreon for all of you to listen on the podcast for free. And then we'll post the video in a YouTube link. So hopefully our patrons don't feel slighted, whatever bitches, you got to see it last week. Okay. So now everybody else gets to see it.
And this is not a regular thing. So
no, we're just going to do it just this once, but just
we're
as a thank
do it
you.
Once just so as a thank you for the 1,000 reviews and for just being wonderful people, y'all. And
go ahead, Poodle.
I get really soft when I'm drinking.
That's the fucking truth. Yeah. We would maybe do another musical episode for 1,000 reviews, but since we're still waiting on the 100, we thought this was a better option.
Fuck off.
Something we could offer now.
Y'all, I just got to tell you, sitting next to me, I don't know why my mother has this. I might take a picture and upload this. There is a fucking electric fucking typewriter on this desk. This is like something from 1987. It is huge. I'm telling you, the thing is like 3 square feet, made by Adler. I mean, this motherfucker, it looks like the 2001 A Space Odyssey computer. How?
It's going to kill you.
I'm taking a picture of this shit. This is absurd. Why is this still here? What would you need this for? In what world?
Sometimes you have to fill out forms, maybe. I don't know.
No. They're all fillable on PDF. I want everyone to come at me if you know why there needs to be an electric typewriter.
I do. Give us a reason, y'all. Give us a reason.
God damn it.
Hashtag reason to type.
Anyway, let's just dig in, y'all. I don't know when my niece and nephews are going to come and try to bun rush me.
Oh, that's true. So we're recapping just for everybody today. This is 90 Day Fiancé, Season 7, Episode 5. You don't forget your past. And you know what?
Unless you're Robert.
But usually I don't forget my past because I usually have to take an antibiotic for it. So
I try to forget mine, but it's always there.
Always comes back. Let's jump into our first Lonely Hearts. Let's talk about Michael and Juliana.
Okay. I got to say, even though this was what we saw last week, the phrase 1996, your birth year, will never not be creepy. And he never needs to say it. And he thought that was a funny and cute thing. It's still one of the creepiest things to ever happen on this show.
It is creepy. I think maybe I've said this before or thought it, but I feel like Michael has kind of dad joke humor, but because his girlfriend is a child, it just feels gross.
He's inappropriate. There's a level of inappropriateness between both him and his wife among their children. I really had a problem with them talking about their family dynamic around their children. I really had a problem with that. That's just not what happens. Gross.
I kind of went back and forth on that because maybe they had a conversation before that we didn't see, and this was staged, because I have to say, fucking Sarah seems like such a great mom. I don't feel like she would jump into that conversation willy-nilly. So I feel like that was probably staged, and I bet they had a conversation before.
I totally agree. I'm saying that even if it was staged, the optics of having your children present for such a conversation is not good. Like things that were said, like, we'll get into this, but what's your role in our family? The children do not need to be there to hear that because they're literally involved.
And I would go on the other, on the side of that as well, of have that conversation without the kids. Because you don't know what answer you're going to get from Juliana. Like, she might say, I don't want to be a mother at all of these kids. And
exactly.
Even though she needs that support, that could be hurtful to the kids.
Right.
Although I will say, Max and Cece have more emotional intelligence than I could ever dream of having.
I wish you could see what I wrote down. Star, these kids have amazing emotional intelligence. Exactly what I wrote down.
I mean, Max is more put together than we are.
And even Cece's like, we really enjoy her.
I know. When Max said, you know, my mom, she's assertive, but not assertive enough to hurt someone. I'm like, I didn't even know what assertive meant when I was that age.
Or you would use it in the wrong way. You still barely know what it means, to be honest.
I thought assertive means you fuck me harder in my ass. Assertive.
There's a weird little dynamic, and I'm sure this was staged. So Sarah does walk in. Michael is also, to go back, Michael does say, in front of the children, well, you know, Brazilian women are inherently jealous. So, not something you say around your son and your daughter. I don't care if they're adults or not. That you just don't say it.
I agree with that. Of course, my family talked about their entire divorce in front of myself and my brother. So yeah, this felt normal to me.
That's what I was going to say. I was brought up, even though they're still fucked up, my family has a couple more boundaries than yours.
I agree, anyway. Though. It seemed a little odd. That said, Sarah, well, I want to say it was adorable when Juliana was doing Cece's hair and they were doing the buns. And then when Sarah came in, she was like, I want a bun. And I'm like, Sarah is a fucking class act.
I love her. I mean,
and then, y'all, we have a, this isn't even just a quote unquotable. This is just strong tea. Whenever Sarah said, quote, I'm not competing with anyone. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy or the need. And then she made that face like, fuck it. That's my goal.
I believed it too. And
me too. That is goals, y'all.
It didn't stop her from when she walked in the door and they're like, yeah, we're having American food. And then Sarah says, in the best way possible, get ready to gain weight. And then Juliana says, oh my God, I'm so fat anyway. Sarah looked at her like, I'm trying everything I can right now to be civil to you. And that was not helpful.
I have to say, when she said that, I was like, Sarah was like, I felt like they should have done like in RuPaul's Drag Race, that little snake thing.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I will say this is much more remarkably civil than I thought it would be. Because I think both of these people, Sarah and Michael, I have my problems with Michael, but I think they figured out kind of how they want to behave around each other and what they figured out what their relationships will be. Juliana's kind of freaked out by it because she doesn't understand how a man and his ex-wife remain friends.
Where she's from.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this is coming from them, so y'all don't come at us saying we're stereotyping, but they're saying that in a Latin culture, there is a lot more jealousy and
Michael said it.
Yeah, Michael said it. And being that I have some really good friends that are Latin, I think probably there's some correctness in there.
And Carini. We can take it from Carini, who would freak out anytime Paul would talk about another woman, even though he really basically only talked about his mother.
Still, it counts. It still counts. And so it's kind of like, Sarah doesn't really want Juliana to parent. I feel like that's fair because she's 22 or whatever.
She's 22. And I don't love, this is hard because I would say what counts as parenting? Does going to Cece's soccer game count as parenting? Does Juliana saying, Cece, you've had three ice creams today. You can't have another count as parenting. I mean, that's where I would, maybe they've already got it, lined up. I don't really know where the line is there.
Maybe, and you know, maybe it's kind of like one of those things where the guards are up more at first and, you know, in like a year or two or three when the kids get older and they kind of relax into just the family dynamic.
Yeah.
That'll help. I felt sad for Juliana when she was like, I feel like I'm breaking up the family. I'm like, girl, that's in
that
your head.
Needs that divorced. Too. I do say this and some, maybe Julia Cass or Julia C on our, on our Facebook, maybe it's not Julia. Who does all the good Photoshop? Alyssa. I feel like Julia also does that. If you could get me a close-up of Juliana's bitch please face that she's making whenever Sarah's talking, she's trying to be nice, and her eyes are just staring at the camera, and it's just, that face is a meme for me, and it is a mood.
No offense to Michael, but I kind of wish Michael would just go away. And I kind of want to see Juliana and Sarah just, I don't know. I kind of felt like they could be a couple.
No. Sarah's happy with her dildo.
Think she would be an amazing lesbian. That's all I have to say about Sarah. She would be a great lesbian.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't get those vibes
from
her at all.
She's got it together. No, I don't get vibes from her. I'm just saying she's
she would make a great lesbian.
Yes, y'all, because lesbians have their shit together.
I don't know. I've known a lot of fucking messes who are lesbians.
Well, maybe when they're younger. If they're young and they're just following around a Lilith Fair, they're a fucking hot mess.
Yeah. But there are some, though. It's like gay men. We're not all dick obsessed whores. We are.
We are. Okay. So are you? I think that's about it for them.
I am through with them. I'm done.
Done. Oh, our next lonely hearts, y'all.
Oh, okay. First of all, this took up a lot of this episode and it really pissed me off because only the first of their segments were any good. I can't stand either of them. They both make me want to like throw myself into a washer on the highest spin cycle. Like it's bad.
I second that. And y'all, we're talking about Robert and Annie. I think probably the two dumbest people we've ever seen in the 90-day universe, multiverse.
I can't even comment on her intelligence. He's an idiot. He's a fucking moron. She's an idiot.
She has no emotional intelligence.
I don't think so. I think that she's just either sheltered from the Dominican Republic. She's got some issues. It may be a language barrier thing, although
no.
Maybe it's not. Maybe she's just a stupid bitch. So it's Robert and Annie. We're gonna meet the grandparents, y'all. And it's not going to be like Meet the Fockers.
Actually,
But I will say in that defense, Bryson's grandmother has fucked a lot of people.
She has. Good for her. We're sex positive here.
Good for her.
We go from literally Juliana and Sarah meeting. That's so
the worst version of this
the best version. And then we go to the worst version of this because Annie already is coming into this saying, even when she's in the car and she was saying, I don't care about the grandparents. I'm like, girl, fuck. I actually set up my TV. I said, fuck you. Because if you actually cared about him, to me, it's so apparent now. I don't think she cared. I didn't really think so before, but it's 100% sure she just wants a fucking green card and doesn't care about Robert at all.
I kind of agree. And there's a weird thing about from both of them saying, like, especially Annie saying, I don't need to know you. Yes, you do. You're going to have to be at every family gathering with this person. Every pickup, you're going to have to talk to them. You are going to have to be civil. You will have to exchange pleasantries with them. I don't know what world you live in that you cannot. I mean, trust me, I would try my best to ignore parts of my extended family, but I still have to see them.
Exactly. Annie doesn't know. Nobody will fuck you and kill you in the night like a pissed off grandma.
That's true.
I mean, she's going to win, y'all.
I will also like to say that, unfortunately, Annie's response to Gigi or Stephanie, hi, nice to meet you, bye, is exactly what I say to every one of my tricks when I see them to the door.
This is fair. Hi, nice to meet you, bye.
So that works in a lot. Hi, nice to meet you, bye. That works in most situations, I will tell you that.
I feel so sorry for Stephanie and her husband's name because that's the most shocking part of this to me is that Robert just fucking told them this 2 days before.
Yeah. And they were
for 2 years. Yeah. Who the fuck does that? Why would you do that?
I feel like Robert procrastinates a lot by telling people things because he told Annie that he had 3 children when he really has 5. And Robert's an idiot. I think he forgets what he's going to tell people. I just want to talk a little bit.
I think that is very fair. I think he just forgets.
So we meet Stephanie and then we meet Ben. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ben's accent and I need to do some research on this. I'm almost certain, and Jackie Weissman, our fearless Sissy Squad moderator, can come at me about this. I'm almost certain that Ben had a Baltimore accent, with these really strange stained data. That it's this no, that when. It's a weird kind of thing at the end of their word, but it's also kind of sounds Southern. The Baltimore accent or a like a Maryland / Baltimore accent is one of the strangest accents. What made me pick it up was if you watch the Freak Show episode of American Horror Story, Kathy Bates has one. And everyone was like, what the fuck is this accent? That's the kind of Baltimore accent. Mostly it's on the, she had a really strong one. Come at us for your Baltimore accent, people, if that's what he had. But that's what it sounded
good
like to me.
Good morning, Baltimore.
That's not what we're talking about.
Every
but that's fine.
Day is an open door.
That's from your resident linguist. Cunning linguist, but your linguist.
It's true. You know, some attorney in his office is going, fuck, that Mary's singing again. They're just hearing me down the hall. They're just wondering. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to point out. So, y'all, I'm going to talk about then the respect to how it relates to Annie. So, Poodle and I haven't talked about this, but I'm pretty sure we feel the same way. Like, we have no problem with Stephanie being a porn actor. That's
not
fine.
At all.
Good for her. She's an adult. She
Get
can
yours.
Do what she wants. Get yours. That's your business. I think she sounded like she had her shit together.
Bryce into the set, it's fine.
Yeah. I think what I'm bothered by, Maura, is the hypocrisy that Annie hears this and immediately jumps into she's a skeeze and disgusting when I actually think Annie literally, I kind of was like, well, you know, at least Stephanie's fucking somebody and getting paid. You're just fucking somebody for nothing and you're not getting shit, you little hoe dog.
You get a dinner at the Hangry Bison, which we're going to talk about later.
It's true. I mean, the way Annie acted, just flipping her hair, it actually made me viscerally hate her. And I didn't think I could dislike anybody more than Tania, but I think I dislike Annie more.
Let's not go that far.
No, that, I think I do.
My hatred for Tania surpasses everything this episode. Like, I can't even see. I see red every time she's on the screen. It's bad. I've never hated anyone. We haven't been watching this show for that long. I haven't hated anyone. I'm trying to think if I hated anyone last season. I hated Caesar, but for a different way. I kind of felt sorry for him. Was there anyone we hated last season?
No, there's nobody we really like viscerally were grossed out by, but
I'm both repulsed and I despise Tania, but we're going to talk about her later. But anyway, so Stephanie is, or they call her Gigi, is a porn actress, or she says an adult film actress. And Annie responds, and of course, her very enlightened way, oh my God, she's disgusting. I wrote down, it's normal for her to ask about, you know, how do you like it here? What are you thinking about it? I don't know if she could have asked about birth control. That may just be her very free outlook on sexuality. It's very something that she would say.
She did come in hard. I agree with you. Yeah. She came in hard.
I can understand that Annie being from a country like the Dominican Republic would be maybe not up to, because it's still a Catholic country, I believe, and they're not upfront about their birth control, I would imagine.
No, I agree that was probably, I understand where, I mean, yes, I think that's, but also Stephanie, I think, came in so hard because they literally, this is where I feel for her, is that obviously her daughter is out of the picture. And y'all, I don't mean this as, and I don't
we
mean
don't
this
even
as
know.
A, we don't, I don't mean it as a judgment. I mean it just as a fact, like for a mother not to be involved in her child's life, shit has to have gone down because I know very few women that would either they're dealing with their own illness or whatever, and no judgment on her, but you've got to really like fucking drop the ball and not be a part of your kid's life. So can you imagine? And now Stephanie is left with fucking Robert. Yeah. Like,
and Stephanie's like, being the mom figure in Bryson's life. And
so she's terrified. Yeah. She's probably terrified of who the fuck he's going to end up with. That's going to be a child and her grandson.
Either addiction or mental health issues. I think it's one of those. Because you're right.
Sure.
It would take quite a bit. Yeah.
So I don't know. You know what my mother would do? And I'm not kidding you. My mother would steal that baby in the night and leave the country with that baby. She would.
And then you would get a call saying, "Hey, baby doll, just taking care of your baby like a good mother should."
That's true. I mean, it was all I could do when my mom used to be religious, that she almost took my first nephew and baptized him behind my brother and sister-in-law's back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because she just said, "I feel like I should baptize." And I had to talk her down. And now she doesn't even believe in God. So,
that's,
you know, there's
crazy.
That. There was actually just a Modern Family episode about that. But anyway, think about it. Think about what would your, now that you're in her space, imagine if you had left, or even your brother-in-law had left, and your sister-in-law is a great mom, but imagine Betsy was like just going through, like, your mother would take those children.
Yeah, she would. She would. And no, you know what she would do? She would just basically, if my brother was having problems with work, my mother would, as a martyr, take the children and go, "Well, I guess they're mine to raise now." And would say things like, "I guess there was no other alternative. I guess I'll do my best." And to everyone she would see, she's like, "Well, guess look, I'm holding the bag. I'm the only one." My mother, y'all, could if there was this, if there was an Olympic sport of like crawling up on a cross, my mother would win every time. It would, like, 5 seconds, she'd crawl up on that crucifix, be that martyr. She's so good at it. Oh, and it comes so easy to her. My mother is the Sarah Bernhardt of South Carolina. Anywho, I want to move on to then their time. So Robert basically says, he bookends this whole conversation. He's like, "I hope that eventually everybody gets along."
I said that too. You're a fucking idiot. You're so stupid.
I can't even tell you. I'm shocked. I'm shocked this person is capable of raising a child. I'm shocked.
He's the reason why almost we should just give everybody a pill for birth control until they're 21 in this country.
He's so stupid. And I don't say that lightly, y'all. I haven't said that a lot of people are stupid on this show.
I haven't either, actually.
Just Emily and Robert. And Emily is stupid in a different reason, because I think she's sheltered and just a little clueless.
She's super naive. I feel like Robert literally got, like, something is not
on his head. Yeah.
Something is not firing in that
brain.
Well,
you can kind of see his cock eyes. He's just like, his eyes are a little closer than they should be, and a little kind of with a hair they could cross at any moment. So
That's true.
So the next step is Robert and Annie, they're going out to a nice dinner at, let me quote this again, the Hangry Bison.
The Hangry Bison.
They're there, and they walk over to the table, and they're like, "John, I'll be your server." Now, rarely does anyone say, "Hey, I'm Robert," introduce themselves to their server. It's not necessary, nor does a server give a shit. It's a very strange thing to do.
It was a very strange thing to do.
Although I think you would do that.
I was just saying, although my boyfriend and I do that all the time.
Why? Because
I think he was a server for so long. And so, like, we always, even if the service is bad, he won't let me tip less than 20% because he served for so long. So he just says, we don't go on and talk. I mean, we just say, "Hey, I'm mad."
But let me just tell you. If you're a server, the only reason you're saying your name is because you have to. You don't give a shit about the other person's name. You tell them your name so they can yell your name across the fucking restaurant, which I've had happen to me before.
You just made me imagine that you worked at one of those restaurants where they throw rolls and somebody said, "Hey, Jaybird, can you throw me a roll?" And you're like, "Yee-haw!"
No.
If you've been to a restaurant where they throw rolls at you, come at us. Now I want a roll.
I fucking hate those places. let's not give up, be under any illusions that serving isn't really hard work and no one's really enjoying themselves. Yes, you can be in some fine dining. I've worked in a couple fine dining places where I have enjoyed myself because I have a small number of tables and I make really good tip money and I have regular customers. If you're anything in like casual dining, you're sitting there with a gun in your mouth every night.
Especially like thinking, you're just refilling chips.
You want to die. Like, come at us if you've been a server and liked it, like, especially casual. Like, if you've worked at TGI Fridays and you're like, I don't want to leave my work, we need to talk to you.
I'm flair today. I'm excited.
Anyway, so as we moved on.
Go ahead.
Y'all, it's hard. No, when we're not together, we're going to talk over each other all the time.
It just happens. Go ahead, Poodle.
So she blasts him with this amazing screenshot. They're talking about women and things being in the past. And she basically says, they're in your past. You need to turn your, she's delete all their photos, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but so I should delete the mother of my children's photos. She's like, yes. And then she's like, and here's what I have. I've screenshot all in a fucking collage. All the women who has ever been on his Facebook post. And he's got receipts.
This is like single white female shit right here. This bitch is going to kill you, Robert. Send her back.
She'd stab you in the night. She would. If he ever cheated, would stab him. Definitely. Definitely.
And then Robert's response was not to be not that. That's the what's so infuriating about when they fight. It's always like, well, you did this and you did this and you did that. And so Robert's response to her calling him out on that was, well, you don't have any pictures of me on your Instagram.
Again, just a fucking moron. In fact, let's have an adult conversation about it. That's what it would be.
If you are basing the validity of your relationship on how your significant other posts on social media, you might want to process that, y'all.
Agreed. It's like when people don't change their Facebook status and your significant other is not changing their Facebook status and you have a meltdown about it.
Darcy.
Exactly. Won't you change your Facebook status?
You don't have to. If you could, it would be like, you know, it would be something. I mean, not anything.
So we later on find out that Robert not has three children by two different women, five children by four different women. So in other words, 3/2 is better than 5/4 in 90 Day Fiancé math.
I just am like, and I don't mean this to be mean, but what women want to sleep with him?
When he was younger, he was cuter. It's like someone posted a picture.
I guess
he was
cuter.
Yeah.
I'm into black guys, but I mean,
see if you can find younger pictures of Robert. You'd be surprised. He's better looking. All right.
He must have that D.
I don't know. I don't know. I do not know about that. I don't think it's that great.
Well, let's hope like Robert did. I just hope eventually everybody gets along.
I'm sure it'll all work out.
What
some of the Jews said right before the Holocaust when they didn't leave.
Exactly. They're like, we can stay.
This will be fine. Yeah. This will be fine. You know, so they're goose stepping down the thoroughfare. It's fine.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze.
Time. Shall we move on to our giant Mike, who lives in Squim?
Mike, our Lonely Hearts, Mike and Natalie. Y'all, I just want to say something. Bojangles has cracked a code of life. Because this man lives in a barn. But you know what? He is happy. He is present. He wants for nothing. He's just drinking coffee and smiling with nature. And he's not in a cubicle.
And I want to set the scenes and bring us to another installment of 90 Days Theater. I'm also going to read some stage directions. I'll be playing the role of Mr. Bojangles, and you will be playing the role of Mike. I'm just going to tell you who you're playing. Okay. It's like middle school theater. Exactly. No one auditions. Here's your part. So I'm going to set the scene. Interior barn. Interior barn. A light is low. Exterior, we hear stirrings like a badger coming out of his burrow. Bojangles emerges. Now go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Bojangles.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing today? How's the barn?
Good. Life's good.
Well, Bojangles, I'm going to be going to the Ukraine. You know where that is?
No. I will hold down the fort for you. Bring me back. You can recreate your candy.
Well, just remember, the place is all yours, and if it burns down, it's on your responsibility.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
And scene.
Those were all quotes that happened, y'all.
He really is a cross between the Tasmanian devil and that redheaded sheriff from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, Louisiana Sam. What is his name? Yosemite Sam. My favorite part, he's kind of like got his gloves. He's got his Oakleys over his hat. Like he's almost a steampunk or something.
Yeah.
I love Bojangles. That actually hurt my throat a little bit doing that. And I also wrote down, and we can move on, and this may be weird, Mike reminds me of like a thinner, short-haired Hurley from Lost. If you ever watched Lost, I'm trying to remember who that's who he reminds me of. Anyway, you've never watched the show.
And then I got bored.
There we go. He never had to deal with the shitty finale, y'all. He probably fared better than all of us.
Yeah, I started it, and then y'all caught up and said it was horrible. I said, well, fuck this. So
it wasn't horrible. It was just the last episode. They ended it so shittily. Anyway,
it's everything.
That last episode divides people like nothing else. Worse than race.
Well, let's move on. So he gets on the plane. He's headed out, and we meet Natalie. I'm interested. We haven't talked about this. I kind of thought Natalie was super charming. I liked her.
I adore her. She is my favorite person that we have seen in the entire 90 Days franchise so far. Now, we haven't seen all the episodes, but I'm saying right now, she is my favorite person. She is charming. She's lovely. I don't see a lot of ulterior motives from her, except for I need to have baby soon. That kind of gives me pause, but I think she's charming. I think she does love him. I really think
it was adorable when she was talking about him, just how she was giggly and so carefree, and it was very moving. And I think the
I teared
thing,
up
I did too. I mean, when they met each other at the when she jumped in his arms at the airport, I went, oh, and I clutched my mouth to my hand,
and she said
meeting
him was like I felt like home.
Yes.
And I wrote Goodness down well home. He is bigger than your apartment in Ukraine, so it would make sense.
True. It's true. Life is roomier. But she come at us for some of y'all that either are, because I know some of you, like Lena, y'all speak Russian. Lena and Joshua, love them. Joshua's a straight sissy. We had some more straight sissies that joined up. They are all hot, y'all.
I've been traveling, y'all, so I've missed the joining of the straight sissies.
Joshua has an arm game that, Jesus. Ooh, but anyway.
I missed some dick pics, Joshua.
Please don't, Joshua. Please don't. Please don't. I'm so glad we can't give away Patreon for free, because you would give it away for so many dick pics.
Maybe.
But come at us if you – the reason I brought this up, I know some of y'all speak Russian. Maybe you're familiar with culture in Ukraine, but I'm imagining that if you're 35 and in the Ukraine, I imagine that's quite old to not have children yet.
I think it is.
More and probably that's, than here.
She's very motivated to have children now, because she obviously did not have them with her first husband. So something went wrong there, and it makes me feel sorry for her. It seems like he was controlling, even though he could provide for her better than her friends think that Mike can. And her friend Julia,
pressure too. Oh God, can we talk about her friends? Can we talk about her friends?
I love her friend Julia with that fur. So Julia is the bad cop, and Svetlana is the good cop.
And they literally look like. In like, if this was like Ukrainian porn, like the smart librarian before, yes. And then when she takes off her glasses, she has
Julia
and too much eyeliner.
And Julia is like saying, well, you know, he looks like he loves Coca-Cola and hamburgers. And I went, she's not wrong. We all love Coca-Cola and hamburgers.
Well, she just shaded every fucking American and said, you know, because they all are big fat, basically.
A lot of us are, you know.
How many tangents has our sissy squad gone off about food we talked about? So, y'all, that's fair. That's fair.
We're not just dick pigs. We're just regular pigs as well.
We're hungry. I'm hungry right now, and I just had a bag of food.
There we are. So we find out that Natalie was married to a wealthier man before. Julia is worried that he won't be able to support that Mike won't be able to support her. And that's to me, the friends are being good. Like they are being, you know, imagine that your best friend had a 90-day fiance and you haven't really hung out with them. And you're like saying, what is his financial situation like? It's pretty, I think they're being great.
I think they are being good for the most part. There's a little bit of, but like the eye rolling and kind of like.
That was a little much.
putting the judgment on the person for you thinking their stuff is not together. I'm like, that is. And honestly, I feel like, who knows, they might be bringing this up because obviously his secret is that he's in a ton of fucking debt and is trying to get out of that. And yeah, obviously
Julia's going to seize on that.
And so I feel like I don't know, that made me a little like, are they just building this up for narrative wise? Because it's still, I mean, I'm sure the Ukraine is a nice place to live, but she also probably is looking forward to living in America.
Yeah, I honestly, it's maybe I'll be proven wrong. It would be really, I have a good gut sense of people. Watch this blow back in my face. I.
That's what he said. And then it did right on your face.
Exactly. I didn't have a problem with that either.
That's why they called you Snowball Poodle in college. Hey, there goes Snowball Poodle. Y'all, if you don't know what snowballing is, Google it.
Google it. It'll work. No, because Pam has a mani cam set up on your station. She's already looking at you. Nellie goes to meet him at the airport, and I just love how adorable she is. She's worried. Then they see fucking Paul Bunyan come to the door, taller than everybody else. And this is in
Paul Bunyan.
I'm coming, boys.
I'm 6 feet two and I'm up and five with them. America busting it. Hey, Paul.
Your voice sounds husky.
We've got to sing that together.
We would. So anyway, they,
and Bojangles is like Blue the Ox.
We also meet Natalie's mother, who's also adorable, who's got some crazy hair, but you know what? I get it. She's in probably in her late 60s and she didn't know she was going to be on camera. Well, something like that. You don't know. It's Ukraine winters. That may take it out of you.
Is her mother Jewish?
Because I don't know.
She is putting on those fucking grandchild pressure. I mean,
she was. She was like, you're going to have babies soon, right? Babies, babies, babies.
I mean, it was, I mean, you see where she gets it from, and she's very close to her mother. And so I bet her, we didn't see it, but I bet her mother says stuff that what my mom said of, well, I hope I get at least a year or two of them before I die.
Jesus. Just
so I have. So I can have some. Well, I wonder if the grandbaby will even remember me.
Wow.
Well, because my mom's mom died of cancer when I was 8 months old. And I remember, I have one memory in her being there, but that's it. And my mom says, that's just so sad to me.
My father's mother died right after I was born. I don't remember her. And they said she was the best. But as I'm saying, I don't remember it. Ho hum. Oh, well, life is short, y'all.
I said that about my grandma Maybell, too. Yeah, exactly. Ho hum. My grandma Maybell was, they said, the best, too. Probably because she didn't get thrown by a tornado a couple hundred feet like my grandma Hazel. And yes, y'all, my grandma's names are Maybell and Hazel. Comment me if you got grandma with Southern names. I loved it.
That's so fucking country.
Hazel, wow. Jean, and Maybell.
Anyway, so they can't wait to have sex, obviously. And he's got a boner in her mom's house, which is really, that's questionable.
I mean, literally is like, hey, mom, good to see you. Bye, we fucking.
And so anyway, then he says, I'm going to direct quote him here. She's like a tigress. She's sleek, sexy, tail that keeps her nice and balanced. She likes a nice saucer of milk after. Her whiskers brush me. She loves her ball of yarn in the corner. Is that a corpse of an antelope over there? That was a direct quote.
Direct quote. I love that.
It was a long metaphor that went on way too long.
And I don't know what was funnier, that he said it or that Natalie just sat there with kind of eyes wide looking like Catwoman, like Michelle Pfeiffer from Batman 2.
I think she was trying to pick up what he was putting down, but she was just like, I don't know what to say. This is an American sense of humor that I can't get.
I want to shout out. Well, I'm almost done, but I just want to shout out for Natalie. Another reason I think I love her so much. She does her makeup better than anyone that's been on the show so far. Her makeup is flawless and it's gorgeous.
She looks great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maria looked pretty good too.
Well, but it's too much. She
You're
does,
right,
like,
Maria.
It's too much. Where Anna is, or Natalie, it's just beautiful. It brings out her natural features, but it's not like too much.
That's true.
She doesn't look like a model for Two-Faced, which is a makeup line you don't know about.
Speaking of makeup or putting makeup on things related to your face, we should move on to our next. I got to say this. I haven't really gotten a lot of blowback about it, but I did talk about Huey, Dewey, and Louie and Garfield, which are Anna's moles on her face. And someone came at us on the Sissy Squad. Have I talked about this before? I don't think I have. Maybe I have.
Maybe not.
Someone came at us saying, I like my mole. And I love the positivity of that, because when I brought up her moles, I wasn't trying to shame her appearance. I was basically just saying there are three fucking moles on her face. And there's something about a mole, like, kind of on your upper lip, or that you can kind of buy. But it's the fact that I decided if it was just Dewey, I think I would never have seen it. But the fact that Huey is there, definitely. Huey is pretty rough. Louie's the worst one. Louie before her and her lower lip is the hardest.
See, to me, Huey on the forehead is the most, because our Sissy Squad member that posted, like, her little mo was right outside of her
gorgeous
eye, and it was really pretty.
Yeah.
So
anyway, thank y'all for taking my negativity and turning it into a positivity. That's what this world is for.
And y'all, if you have moles and you either love them or you don't love them and you can't afford to get them taken off, please shade Poodle and make him feel horrible so I can laugh at it.
You know what? I'm pretty much immune to it by now. But I wanted just to say, though, that the reason why I called them out, not the fact that they are in one line, as someone has pointed out, like they were designed that way, like they were irrigation standpoints, is just that there are three of them, and none of them are subtle. And some people on the Sissy Squad is like, I love my moles. I have moles on my face, y'all. None of them are raised to where it looks like there's an actual balloon knot on my face. And anyway, there's a difference. Let's just say that. We'll be done with it. But thank us for coming about the moles.
There's so Anna and Marcel are going, he's going to go work on her bees.
She's going to show him her beeve. I mean, her bees.
Her bees. Now, we find out that Marcel has had 20 years of beekeeping experience. It's like a lineage thing in his family. She's just starting this. She's not so neat. Although someone in the Sissy Squad bought some of her honey and said it was delicious.
Good for her. Actually like her. I like her as a person quite a bit. I question her choices for her family, but I like her as a person.
So they're out there doing the bee thing. And then I think this is going to lead us to our next 90-day theater, everyone.
Who's playing who? Can you tell me?
I'll be playing the role of Marcel.
Okay.
Y'all, you're saying okay, like the fuck you won't? Of course.
I'll be playing my role of Marcel.
And I'll be playing Anna. And just to set the scene, they are outside in a nice grove. And Anna decides it's time to start basically trying to use the bees for dirty talk.
Sexual metaphors, yes.
Apparently. Yes.
And scene.
So, Marcel, do you like working with my bees, Marcel?
Bees? Bees?
Marcel, you're getting it lit, you know, with that smoke. It's like, no. You light my fire, Marcel.
Boys, mating. Boys.
It's pretty attractive watching you work with my bees, Marcel. I like watching you work, Marcel.
Work? Fun.
Do you think I'm sexy working with the bees?
Yes.
And sing.
That was the most honest answer we got, y'all, at the end.
That was like the biggest,
It was hard to watch. It was really hard to watch, actually.
If I was beating off to like 20 Sean Cody guys in front of me, I would have lost my boner in that moment. That was the least sexy thing I've seen on TV that I can't remember in a long time.
Then she randomly just kissed him and he was like, bruh!
Like, no, bees!
And then they just randomly put on beekeeper outfits and basically like had kinky beekeeper sex, like, yes, right there, like falling all over each other. And I'm like, oh, they've totally done that. They've probably put on beekeeper suits.
Y'all,
condoms not needed.
He just slaps some honey on her vagina and goes to town.
And then at the end, he says, yes, very good bees.
Very good. By the way, for that sissy squad member who bought that whipped honey, how do you think they whipped it? You're getting a little Marcel in your honey. How do you like that?
Disgusting.
I'm so sorry to that sissy squad member. Because now they're not going to be able to eat that honey because of us.
Sorry, that honey, you need to give that away. Pour that down the toilet.
So we can talk about it a little bit, but the next is her friend Vivi is throwing her a baby shower. And then they cut to Anna saying, I really hope it goes well. I'm like, it won't because he can't fucking talk.
Yeah, this whole shower was really uncomfortable. He was trying to say, I'm talking to your friends.
And he just ran in and shook everybody's hand really quickly. So that way he looked like he was personal. It was hard to watch.
I agree. The less said about this stuff, the better. Then he went to the sweet tea fountain in the back, said, no alcohol? which I'm glad is a phrase he learned. Strangely, I've never been able to say that phrase in English. So he's drinking his sweet tea and he's in the background and him and Anna and Vivi are just talking about it, which I still find really uncomfortable. I know that he probably doesn't understand what they're saying, but it just makes me really uncomfortable that he's in the background and they're talking about him.
That made me really uncomfortable too. It's just so, it's so dehumanizing.
Yeah.
And the fact that I think he knows it's happening. But he was just standing there looking up at the nature with his legs crossed. What do you think he was thinking? What do you think he was thinking at that moment, Poodle?
He was going, I want to be back turkey. I miss turkey. I will say, one of my favorite things that a Sissy Squad member posted, I think they found it some other place, was a picture of Marcel. And it says, when your to-be mother-in-law won't stop talking. And it was a picture, and it did his like thought bubble of a bunch of stones. It was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen. I laughed about it. And it just had a little thought bubble of a pile of stones.
Pile of stones.
Because that's what she asked. Are you going to stone my daughter?
Yeah, this isn't going to happen, y'all.
Yeah.
This relationship, I'm telling y'all. It's doomed. It's doomed.
Yeah.
It's doomed.
I will say near the end, one other thing I noticed, the last thing I have is, Anna does, when she drinks, she gets red-faced like an Irish person. And oh, when
Ricky
she
Darty
does,
was like that.
When she does get red-faced, Huey, Dewey, and Louie get drunk too because they get red.
What do you think Huey, Dewey, and Louie were saying as they were drunk?
Ooh-wee. I hope that this is the best shower I've ever been to. And then Dewey says, well, I don't really know. I've never been to a shower before. And Louie's like, no one pays attention to me.
And Garfield's just in the corner going, I want some shots!
Garfield's the angry drunk. Yeah. Yep. That's they got drunk, y'all, and the moles start talking when they get drunk. That's all I've got about those two.
Speaking of somebody who probably wants to get drunk because they're angry, let's talk about Sinjin and Tania. By the way, he said the name Tanya in the middle of the show, and it took me a moment. I went, who's that?
I can't see her name I can't read it as Tanya anymore. It's Tania. And it's always going to be Taniya for me. I just can't.
I feel like, let's just jump into it. They go to Connecticut. And the main thing is, y'all, she hasn't done.
I fucking hate her.
She hasn't done anything in this fucking, you know, you think she at least made it a she shed or something like that. But no, it's just a fucking shed. She's done nothing because it was so stressful for her to do the paperwork. And then she's like, but I paid for it anyway.
And there, y'all, the worst thing about it is not only there's just like furniture everywhere, there are boxes of clothes everywhere. Could you not have just like organized your clothes? It looks like someone just like shook a bunch of Chester drawers around.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Look,
a production person just made it look worse.
Yeah, your mom. The fact that now that we know that your mom, Missy, is a union carpenter is amazing in itself. And I just want a fucking show about her. So there's that. But I get it. Like, my dad's a plumbing contractor. If I had to do a lot of stuff, that's my dad's job. Your brother's a carpenter. You don't want to bother them with their work. Like, hey, help me do this. So I get it. She wants to move the cabinets and stuff herself. Great. But you can, like you said, you can at least fucking organize and put the shit up and pack it away so that when you do, it just, it looked like a fucking like meth house or
I'm going to diagnose her problem. And here's the thing is, she idealizes things in her head. The same thing with the rose petals. Everything had to be perfect. She wants their shed to be perfect. But she gets so overwhelmed with being perfect that she's paralyzed. So she can't get it done.
I wrote down the same thing in that she is someone who always starts things and never finishes them.
Yeah. Ever. And in her head, it's the most terrifying place in the world because she's already judging everything she's doing and she's judging everybody else. And I will say this, no one is judged worse by Taniya than she's judging herself. So she's a completely ridiculous person and I hate her. Know that she hates herself worse. That's all I will say.
She talks about having children and she needs to process that and go to therapy because I guarantee you when she starts having children, she'll start having anxiety attacks because she'll be so worried
about it. It'll be terrible. Yeah. So I wrote very little about them because I had a hard time watching them, mostly because I like him so much. And he's y'all, his reaction to that, the state of the shed was far, far less than mine would have been.
Give him a fucking medal.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
he walked into a disaster area.
And then it's having to move all this shit while she micromanaged him. I didn't write a lot. I just wrote, hold on. I just want to see. I wrote one thing. Are you in? Oh, yeah. Run. That's what I wrote. That's what I fucking wrote.
And also she's just trying to micromanage him. I wrote down, I hate her. There are like seven hates. I have to do two quote unquotables from her and then I'll move on because she makes me sick to my stomach. We communicate. I tell him what to do and he does it. Then the last one, which I still don't really understand. Don't talk to me softly like that. I got nothing. I don't know.
Don't talk to me softly. But I mean, talk about putting... It is talk about what Brene Brown talks about. She's in a shame cycle, feeling shame about what the inadequacies that she feels for herself in life, that she's projecting her shame onto him.
I think that's it. It was just all super disturbing for me.
It was very disturbing.
I want to move on. I despise her.
Well, we got to move on before your fucking nephew and nieces get there.
Yeah, let's talk about Blake, y'all. So I have some thoughts. So Jasmine's from Finland. And Blake has been Blake was married at 19 and divorced at 23. A great thing to have already. What else?
They met online and he didn't even know that she was from Finland. And then when she told him, and then he found out
that they're just 10 blocks from his sister.
Isn't that the biggest coincidence in the world? That is just like, I love it when the universe does things like that. I just love it when like magic happens. Who would have ever thought that?
Oh my God, shocking. And I am 85%.
I know who would have thought that. Jasmine found that.
Yeah, y'all, because if you don't know this on these dating apps, you can just put in the fucking zip code of where you want to look for people. I know this because half the time Poodle is always looking for dick on Grindr in Miami because of Latin men.
No, I'm like Silver Lake. I'm like, I know exactly where to go. I also want to say that he says, Jasmine, what am I say? Jeanette or Janetta, her sister, won the green card lottery. And that then I wrote down, this is a fucking racket. Let's get to their time in the car when they pick up the sister to meet Jasmine. Talk about an ice princess, y'all. Fuck.
I can't wait. I think the real hero of this is Blake's mom, Kerline. I fucking love that woman. I love her. I love that her name's Kerline. And I'm like, when that sister meets fucking Kerline, she's going to have none of it.
Because Kerline's going to see through all of it. So, first of all, Janetta, you can tell in her eyes, she fucking hates Blake. She hates that she has to spend 10 minutes with him.
And she is not into this at all.
I also want to say that both these girls kind of, maybe this is my sci-fi mind working here, they seem like fembots that were built along the same specs to attract American women, to attract American men. And they are there to like do in some Finnish conspiracy to all of a sudden we'll be in Blake's house and they'll just explode the whole city of Los Angeles. They'll just go up. And because they're kind of saying things like, yes, it's very nice here. That's things that American people would say. They look like they were built in a lab. Both these girls do.
They do.
Let me just add a couple other quotes. When he takes her arm off of her, he puts his arm around her. I'm hot. I love this one too. I like to be alone a lot. And my favorite kind of sleep is, quote, alone sleep. You know what? I gotta say, Jasmine, same. Same here. Don't fucking when I'm sleeping. Don't nuzzle me. I'm going to kick you off. I'm okay with cuddling the next morning. I don't want to fall asleep with you touching me. I'm already hot.
Literally every couple we've met, even Anna and Marcel can't even talk. And they went to the fuck bedroom with the bathroom in the living room to have sex.
And she's like, I want to shower and sleep.
So the fact that they're not doing this is... And then he even said, Blake says, you know, I'm pretty sure she's coming here just for me. I'm like 85% sure.
No,
like, dude,
I want to shower, sleep, and please plug me in. It was long flight.
It was a long flight. You should be not even more than 100%. As Poodle says, you should be 120%
sure. 110% sure. That's all I got about this disaster. I can't imagine it's going to go well.
Don't think it's going to go well at all. I just want to say this. I don't want to talk about it a lot, but a lot of you have messaged. Sorry, I can't talk. So I just want to bring it up because I feel like it's fair. A lot of people brought up they feel like Blake's effeminate or could be gay or something like that. Maybe Jake and I don't really want to speculate unless like somebody's was just obvious gay, like
the guy that we talk about in Before the 90 Days. He just reminds us of somebody. I don't know. I don't know if he's, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe I also feel like it's harder with straight guys now that are younger, because they're just, straight guys are more effeminate now. And he's an artist and a musician. So I don't know. I feel, and maybe he is hiding behind her because he has a sexuality issue. I just don't want that to become a thing, kind of like him and the gender thing and all that. But I will just say, who knows? I don't know if it matters. All I know is right now is he's getting fucking catfish. It's fine. So
I don't care if he's effeminate. I think it'll take more to prove he's gay to me. He'll have to put his dick in my mouth. Then I'll know.
Do you want to jump into our sissy shout outs?
Yes, you go first because I need to look. And I only have 2% left on my battery on my computer. Don't judge me.
Why didn't you charge me?
Trust me.
You're an idiot.
Hold on.
You know, right, what? Do you want to? We can do 4 sissy shout outs next week if we need to.
Okay, we're going to do 4 sissy shout outs next week.
Y'all, because Poodle fucked it up, we're going to shout out 4 of you next week.
I could do it now. I just only have 2% left on my battery.
It's fine. No, because we still need to tell people where they can find us for our Cameo.
Right. Y'all, we're doing Cameo.
We are doing Cameo. So we launched that. Well, last week, some of you found us, but it's officially launched this week. So if you're interested in doing Cameo stuff, you can find Jake at Jake It or Fake It.
At Jake It or Fake It on Cameo.
And you can find me at The Matt Mar, 2 T's, 2 R's, because the way they told us to set it up is we both have a separate Cameo. So we're looking to do things together down the road, but they said they'll work that out. We said, okay.
No, just come at us if you want a little message, if you want to buy something for someone special, you know, if you want us to do our Emmy-winning impressions. Or
life advice. You want Poodle to read you?
I'll read you, or I'll read you in the style of Florian.
Poodle doesn't have time a lot, but if you send him a video or a picture and want him to dissect if your man has big dick face, he will do that in Cameo.
I'll do that when I'm paid. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like a fortune teller.
A gift, y'all. He's got to get paid.
I'm down to 1%. Let's finish this.
if you log off, I'm just going to finish it myself. Okay. But I just want to say, everybody, you can find everything in our show at sissythattalk.com. You can listen to all of our shows. We've got Bitch Crap, the Sabrina podcast. We've got Sweet Tea, Southern Charm. We've got
River Mails
episodes, and we have River Mails episodes. You can also go find our merch at sissythattalk.com. Last but not least, thank you so much for the reviews. Please keep the reviews coming. Because of you, we're going to be launching on Friday. Oh, I didn't say. It's at Friday at 11:11 a.m. Pacific time. We'll be launching the free episode of our first week Patreon, which will be on our regular podcast feed and also on a YouTube link that I will tweet out for our Instagram or Sissy Squad for all of you to see. Yes. And you guys, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we just all lonely hearts looking for love?
Yes. And if you decide to get a 90-day fiancé, call us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.